Otherwise, announcements, everything as always. Now, Psalm 33, verse 12. Psalm 33 and verse 12. All right, I'll give you a minute, just settle down here. I know there's actually 233 more people here than what's on the board this morning, so there's almost 1,100 people here today. And so that's why it's very crowded. It's a couple of hundreds up there in the other building, Junior Church, and B Sunday School. So y'all just have to put up with it. Some of you people that are real crowded, come and help us get started on this balcony. How about that? And the Lord will bless you for it. Psalm 33:12. Psalm 33:12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. Let's read that verse again. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Not Buddha. Not just God as you perceive Him. Not Muhammad or Allah. Not the God of Louis Farrakhan. But it says, blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. That's Jehovah God. It's not enough that a nation just have a God. That God must be the Lord. The Lord. I'd like to preach to you this morning on the subject, a nation adrift. And this is going to be a little bit different because I'm going to give you a lot of statistics and facts this morning about our nation, because we are quickly being robbed of our nation's true background and heritage. Snatched right out from under us. Our generation of young people is the first generation ever to grow up having absolutely no idea where they came from, what they're doing here, or where they're going. Teenagers today actually believe that the whole purpose of them being here is to have all kinds of fun and nice clothes and cars and live it up. That's what they think the purpose of life is. We come a long way in this nation. What a nation. What a history. What a heritage. We ought to be proud of our nation this morning. We ought to be willing to stand for our flag and for our nation. Did you know in 1968, the federal courts passed a law to put up to 1 year's imprisonment and a huge several thousand dollar fine for burning the American flag? Less than 30 years ago. Something really gone weird here in this last generation. We've lost our roots. This is the greatest and most prosperous nation in the history of this world. But we are decaying and falling apart. They said, Patrick Henry said, that our country was not just based on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you a bunch of things this morning that you will never hear on the news. The reason you'll not hear these things on the news is because the news media, whether they know it or not, are biased against Christianity and the real truth of the Word of God. The devil, the prince of the power of the air, controls the airwaves. And he's doing a tremendous job of hiding our Christian heritage from us. For example, October the 12th, 1492, Columbus stepped foot on that little piece of sand there in the Caribbean island and stuck up a wooden cross in the sand that altered the course of history. People don't know this, but the desire of Columbus was to free the Holy Land from the grips of the enemy that had it in its grip. Find gold in the New World. Columbus said, I was motivated by the Scripture. That's what he said. He said the inspiration was from the Holy Spirit. Wonder why that the Learning Channel or Discovery Channel will not put on a documentary and tell the truth that Columbus said, I got my directions from the book of Isaiah and the Holy Scriptures, and the Holy Spirit led me to discover America. Why don't they tell you that in school? Why don't they put it up on the board? The Columbus said the Holy Spirit inspired them, because they're afraid that they might be endorsing Christianity. Well, I thought their job was to teach history. No matter how it was, teach history. If you come over to worship rocks, put I come over to worship rocks. Amen? I'm trying to stay in a good mood. But it's going to get worse. I can tell it. I can feel it. I can tell it. I can feel it. I'm telling you, listen, his desire was to find gold and free Jerusalem from its enemies. That's why he came to America. There were some other time, a few years later, some people who dissented and protested the church over in Britain. They wanted to purify the church. They wound up getting the nickname Puritans. In Jamestown in 1607, John Smith was captured by the Indians. Listen to me. Jamestown, 1607. They were captured by the Indians. The Indians were going to kill him. And right when they were getting ready to kill him, there was a young girl who was an Indian girl named Pocahontas. You say, oh, I know that story. I saw the movie. No, you don't know the story. Pocahontas was only 10 years old, and she came up and laid her head down on John Smith's lap so the Indians wouldn't kill him. Her heart was touched. But as she got a little bit older, they freed him, of course, and they began to give her Bible lessons. Looks like if Walt Disney was going to make a movie about Pocahontas, they would at least tell you the real truth. She did not marry John Smith, like the movie tried to say. She married another fellow by the name of John Rolfe later on. And they took Pocahontas and taught her this book right here, the Bible. And brother, they took the Word of God, they taught Pocahontas the Bible, and she converted to Christianity and was baptized and married one of the early settlers. Now, I didn't see the movie, but I'll guarantee from what I've heard, it said nothing of the kind. Why didn't it show the little... I know one thing, she is skinny as that thing right there. I've seen a little preview of it. Why didn't they show her just bending down and accepting the Lord Jesus as her Savior? Why didn't they put that in there? Disney has backslid since the old man died. And I'll tell you some more about that later. But I'm telling you, that was a part of our nation's history. It's full of baloney nowadays. She, at 17 years old, she became a Christian. The Mayflower Compact was signed. They begin the Mayflower Compact with, quote, in the name of God, amen. That's how it began. In 1621, the pilgrims got on the Lord's Day on Sunday and worshiped from 8 to 12 noon. We've cut it from 10 to noon now, but they did that. The first Thanksgiving began right after that to give thanks to God. In Boston, 1639, they all began to get together and established a university. The name of this university was Harvard. Do you know why Harvard was established? Harvard was established in Boston to train preachers to preach the Word of God. The King James Bible, man, Harvard. That's what it was established. They said, let every student, this was a quote, let every student know God and Jesus Christ as their highest from advancement in life and the only foundation of learning. Do you reckon it's that way this morning? Do you think when kids come into Harvard now, they set them all together and say, all right, kids, listen up. The most important thing you're going to learn here is Jesus Christ as your Savior. You think they tell them that at Harvard now? No, sir. But they're supposed to. They're the ones that's changed, not us. In 1718, Yale was established for the very same purpose, because Harvard was getting a little worldly. And they started another one and called it Yale. They said that the students rose at 6 a.m. for Bible reading and prayer. You think they do that on the campus of Yale now? Make everybody get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and read the Bible? Yeah. Your foot too, man. In Philadelphia, 1752, Benjamin Franklin flew his kite and found out that electricity and lightning were the very same. 1753, the Liberty Bell arrived in perfect condition but cracked on the first stroke there, and is still there today. I saw it a few years ago. In 1700, George Washington was ambushed, and they said that God's hand was on George Washington in such a way that in that war, he had soldiers shot all around him. He had two horses shot out from under him and found three or four bullet holes in his clothes. But yet he remained unharmed. And the people said God's hand, well, for a reason, was on this man. The American Revolution began. It became a free, independent nation. It was a process of national self-definition to let America know that we are an independent nation outside of all foreign governors or powers whatsoever. In June of 1775, Washington chosen to be commander-in-chief. July 3rd, 1775, Washington took command. July 4th, 1775, they observed, you know what he done? He forbid any of the men in his army to curse or to swear or to be drunk, and he made every one of them go to church. Amen? Amen. Bill Clinton puts queers in the office, and Washington made every one of them go to church on Sunday. Somebody move somewhere. Now everybody look up at me. I'll tell you when it's time to pray. Soon as I say bow your head, you bow your head. Until then, look at me like you got good sense, and I'll think you will. July 4, 1776, Jefferson declared, they made the Declaration of Independence. They saw Washington down on his knees. And in 1778, he made it clear that homosexuals would not be tolerated. They put them out of the army. And George Washington said, there was a man who tried some homosexual act in the army. Listen, people, putting a bunch of homosexuals in the army together would be like putting a man in the woman's dorm. You understand that? Have you got enough brains to think that? Or have you watched TV so much you're completely brainwashed and are not able to think no more? He said it cannot be tolerated. 52 out of the 55 men who wrote the Constitution of the United States were church-going men, and they wrote it for a moral and a religious people. 1789 landed the federal government, and they made the federal government, and they said the government's job is to stay out of people's lives as much as possible, and the government's original job was just to be a little referee and to make sure things run smoothly. That's the purpose of government. They worried that someday government would be too big and interfere with the lives of the people. In 1892, in Washington, they established the 87 precedents, and they said that our law must be based on the teaching of the Creator. They said their intention is Christian, and the Supreme Court said this is a Christian nation. In 1903, around the turn of the century, they made the first real movie and moving picture show that got famous called The Great Train Robbery. A snowfall in Arizona made Cecil B. DeMille and some of his friends move down south where it's a little warmer, and they found the place we now know as Hollywood. In 1903, at December the 17th, at Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, the Wright brothers put that little plane up called Kill Devil Hill. And they already said it could never be done. That's odd. I've often wondered why the Lord killed the devil on the hill. And the first flight went out of North Carolina. It means we're going first in the rapture. Just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. The dead in Christ rise first. But that thing went up, flew for 12 seconds at 120 feet, and a new age began. They had some revivals back in them days like you wouldn't believe. Them evangelists would come through town and the bars would shut down and go out of business. The factory would close with people down on their knees. Listen, there was a time in America when they had a tent revival and evangelists come through that the place, the schools and factories and places would shut down and everybody would go out and they'd say, we're going to have God. We've got to have the Lord. God's got to help us right here in our land. They said one city got so converted that 50,000 people got saved and they only knew 50 people who were not converted and they met. The judges had no cases to try. There were no rapes. There were no robberies. There were no problems. And they discussed what to do with the police. Just lay them up because they didn't have nothing to do. Now the reason our courtrooms are full this morning and the reason our jails are running over and the reason, brother, that we have to hire policemen now to police our street is because we thought we was smarter than God and kicked Him and His Word out of our public school system, and as a result we got more hell now than we know what to do with on our streets. Amen? And I can be nice when I want to. Just don't want to today. In 1917, World War I began, and the world was plunged into a bloody war. America emerged victorious and become known as the strongest power on earth in military. In 1919, after that, happy days were beginning. And the Industrial Revolution began. They invented things suffice. They couldn't even keep up with the patents, man. Everything's kept coming off. God blessed our nation. People went to church for the most part. Honored God, did right, served the Lord. And it was a great period of prosperity like this world had never seen a nation do. But in 1915, they made a movie called The Birth of a Nation. In New York City, during this time, there was a woman. And this woman got full of the devil. Her name was Margaret Sanger. She began a league called, she wanted to call it the Birth Control League. She was in control of the women's lib movement in that day, and her purpose was to undermine the Christian church. And Margaret Sanger said, quote, I look forward to the day when the world will be free from the curse of Christianity. And she started an organization that you now know as Planned Parenthood. And she started that organization hoping that the day would come when there wouldn't be no such thing as Christianity. She believed the same thing as Hitler, that just smart, white, educated people should breed and just let everybody else just become extinct. That's what she believed. She was wicked, inspired by the devil. In 1919... the birth control revenue movement, they called it. They wanted to create a thoroughbred nation. Eliminate morons and misfits and sterilize people whom they thought weren't fit. They called it selective sterilization. About this time, there was another movement came up. This movement was a communist movement. The founders were members of Communist Party. One fellow was a member of 200 communist organizations. One of them, William Foster, was the chairman of the Communist Party. They began a movement for conscientious objectors who didn't want to fight for their country and just lay back and live like the devil. And they called this organization the Civil Liberties Union. Now you know it as the ACLU. Now they won't tell you that on TV, but the ACLU is a communist organization. You say, Brother Danny, you're wrong. Well, you just hold your horses here just a second. The ACLU now stands against everything that's right and for everything that's wrong. They support the legalization of child pornography, but oppose voluntary prayer in our public schools. They support the legalization of recreational drugs, but object to sobriety checks. Police just stopping you to check, see if you're sober. They support the tax-exempt status for Satanists and oppose tax exemption for churches like ours. They support legalized prostitution, but oppose religious displays in public. They support abortion on demand, but oppose modification safety regulations by the government. They do not want a nativity scene placed on the courthouse lawn. They do not want the word Jesus on the airway because they say it's mixing church and state. Somebody come out with that little saying, mix church and state. And they said, if people don't quit quoting that, people's going to think it's part of the Constitution. And that's happened. People think it's part of the Constitution, but it's not. The Constitution was not written to keep the church out of government. Read it, man. Read it. If you can turn your TV off long enough, read it. That Constitution amendment said that the government shall not stick its nose in the church. Not the other way around. I like what the mayor of Rhode Island said up there. I love it. They were fussing about the nativity scene and the wise men. And he said, the reason the ACLU is so upset about the nativity scene on the courthouse lawn and the Virgin Mary and all of that, because probably in the whole organization of the ACLU, one would not find three wise men nor a virgin. Amen. Amen. You ain't saying loud amen. My ears are stopped up. I'm telling you. Listen. You want to talk it real loud. The fellow who began the ACLU, 1917, for conscientious objectors, his name was Roger Baldwin. And in 1920, brother, in a nutshell, it is a communist organization against everything it right. History shows that the concentration of power always precedes the destruction of liberty. Are you listening to me? History shows that the concentration of power, giving more power to a centralized government, always precedes the destruction of a nation. That means like taking your guns away from you. Every one of you people, you ought to have you a good gun and use it if you need to. You say, I thought you was a preacher. I am. What has having a gun got to do with a preacher? Hey man, I can have my 12 gauge here, my Bible here, and just be right with God as you ever want to be. I ain't gonna murder nobody. I ain't gonna kill nobody. I'm not gonna hurt nobody with it. Unless you come breaking in my back door. And I'd be a low down Christian if I wouldn't protect my family. Stuff like that's what gets me in trouble. People go, I heard Danny Cat, well, he's up there beating holes in the wall with hammers and hitting people and had a shotgun. Well, I tell you what you do, sweetie pie. You can just say anything you want to. You get in the way of this church, it'll smash you. Amen? In Dayton, Tennessee in 1925, they had what they call the trial of the century. ACLU lawyer, you might know it, was fighting them, teaching creation in the school. You know, they're so jealous because they're under conviction. William Jennings Bryan was on the good guy's side. And they made a movie and portrayed him, the Scopes Monkey Trial, and portrayed him to be some kind of idiot. That wasn't the way it was at all. New York City, 1925, Margaret Sanger raised her ugly head again. In 1927, public television came out and people said, man, it ain't going to be long. This thing's going to be in every house. People didn't believe it. 1921, boom. 23, boom. 25, boom. 26, boom. 27, boom. Left God out. 28, boom. 29, crash. We lost our land. We lost our work. We lost our jobs. I ain't got time to tell you about it. And things went bad till 1932, and President Roosevelt, the 32nd president, got up and he said, we got to have raw executive power to get us out of this mess. What always happens is if you get people broke and want money and food, then a leader can step up and just take charge and people do anything. That's what's getting ready to happen again. That's how the Antichrist is going to come on the scene. You listening? December 16, 1941, Pearl Harbor, Japs attacked Pearl Harbor. Over 2,000 men were killed just like that. We weren't ready. 1932, Sanger raised her ugly head again. Planned Parenthood Federation of America and denounced marriage as a detestable way of life. That's what she believed. She said, we don't need marriage. This is 1930, people. You see, our nation took off track, starting way back, while God's people wasn't paying attention. 1945, we dropped the bomb on Hiroshima, 31,000 feet, 80,000 people were killed instantly. World War II came after that, 400,000 Americans were killed. 1956 in New York City, Elvis Presley came out and done his act in New York City. And you know what the critics said about him? They said he's untalented and vulgar. Boy, haven't times changed. Smart critics, they were right. He carried a tune, that's about it. 1960, the ACLU prohibits carols and Christmas carols in public places. They said, listen, 1962, God let them go into orbit. 1962, the Supreme Court said prayer is unconstitutional, and the home split up. They began to take the woman out of the home, the man in the home, and they began to mess all up God's plan. And in 1962, the Supreme Court said no more Bible, no more prayer in our public schools. We can do it without you. And God just stepped back and said, okay, if you don't want me, I'll be glad to back up, let you have somebody else. And the Beatles showed up in 1963, and the president got shot in Dallas, and then the Rolling Stones, and all hell broke loose on our nation. The hippie drug love scene, free love, free sex, do whatever you want to, don't matter if you're married, live like you want to do. And we abandoned God. And we're paying for it now, son. We're paying for it now. And you ain't seen the tenth of it. Sex disease has skyrocketed now. Now, I ain't got time to give you the whole history of the United States in just a few minutes. Now, where are we? In 1993, the NEA, with our tax money, gives $17,000 to New York, I think, Pittsburgh or Philadelphia and Los Angeles, San Francisco, to finance gay festivities. I'll say it again. I said the NEA, that's the National Endowment of the Arts, took our tax money and is giving it to sponsor homosexual festivals. Now the Bible calls, see what the Bible calls them is sodomites. That term sodomy comes from where men are attracted to men. Now, I know that little TV shows every night on TV are trying to make you think, well, he's just gay and he was born that way. That ain't the truth, man. No. Nobody's born queer. Nobody. Hey, you say, well, you're wrong. No, you just sit there and listen for a minute. You'll be all right. You just sit there and listen a minute. I know some of you people's about to have a heart attack right now. You just calm down a little bit, young'un. You hear me this morning? If we allow this generation of homosexuals to say I was born this way, next generation child molesters and serial killers are say, you can't punish me. It's always been in me. I was born this way. And they'll convince the next generation that they was born that way. Oh, that would never happen. Last generation thought this would never happen. Amen? You know what they said? The National Endowment of the Arts, they took a statue of Jesus Christ on the cross, submerged it in human urine. And they said that's art expression. Took tax dollars to pay for it. They say, well, this is America. We have freedom to do what we want to. Okay, we'll take a statue of Martin Luther King and put it in human urine. And if the NEA will fund that and the government will back you up, I'll eat that flag. You'd start a national war. How come it's all right to do it to Jesus Christ? Because the devil has to go over this land, brother. And I'm telling you, he hates God, the Bible, and everything me and you stand for. Let me tell you what you don't see on the news. You didn't see that little bit on the news. September 93. Listen to me. September 93. Hamilton Square Baptist Church, San Francisco, California. 100 homosexual protesters of the groups ACT UP and Queer Nation. That's what they call themselves. That's the name of their organization. Stood and blocked the doors of a Baptist church in America and knocked people, pushed them aside, and caused such a ruckus and held signs and were threatening obscenities and hollering, "We're going to get your kids. We want your kids. We're here. We're queer. We'll rule the world. We're here. We're queer. We'll rule the world." And you know what Phil Donahue says about us? Phil Donahue said, "Man, you got homophobia." He said, "We got something wrong with us. We got a disease. This disease is called homophobia." Well, he's part right and part wrong. We do have something. It's called homo nausea. You know, I've always... There's just something about a man sticking his tongue in another man's mouth that makes me want to puke, man. You say, "I've never heard no preacher talk like this in my life." You know why? Because it's just, you lived a sheltered life. You need to get out and see the rest of the world. You're too sheltered in your old outdated beliefs, man. Expose yourself to the rest of the world. And I tell you what, buddy, you listen to me this morning, I'm singing the Star Spangled Banner through my belly button. Only the teenagers know what that means. See, I'm a ventriloquist now. I done that for him a while ago. It's a little trick here in my tie. Now listen. Oh, I got to preach loud here for a minute. They screamed. They destroyed church property. They said, "We want your children." This police into the door. No arrests were made. I got a video of it. They said an 8-year-old retarded girl was so scared she fell down the steps. The police would not make arrest. A 77-year-old lady went to pieces and said, "We're afraid we're going to kill somebody." And the people, that's a Sunday evening service at a Baptist church. For further details, get your Bible out and read Genesis chapter 19, where they were breaking the doors in, trying to storm in Lot's house. That's the day we're living in. Why wasn't that on the news? Why wasn't that on CNN? Why didn't Ted Koppel do a special on that? Where's the news media? I'll guarantee you, if abortion protesters were pushing people down and sent around from abortion clinic and a retarded girl fell down the steps and tearing up their property, I'll guarantee you that'd be on the news. Disney now sponsors Gay Day every year. Disney. I've heard it all. I never thought Mickey was born that way. They said, I saw the other day, they said, there's a good saying, take that to school, kids. If Mickey dumps Donald for Minnie, he's goofy. I'm the other way around. I'm sorry. Guess what happened a few months ago? Strasburg, Pennsylvania. J.T. Lambert Middle School. You've heard it. It's been on the Christian radio. Another thing the news media ignored. March 19th, 59 sixth grade girls had to go have an examination, which sixth grade girls, against their wishes, 16 of them started crying and wished to call their parents, and the school nurse stood at the door and would not allow the kids to call home, stripped them off naked, and had a genital examination of 11-year-old girls. Mm-hmm. Without parental consent. And their job is, Their philosophy is parents are stupid. They don't know nothing. We'll raise these kids. And they got all kinds of lawsuits over in Pennsylvania. They're going, you say, "Well, I ain't heard nothing about that." That's because you don't come to church regular and all you do is watch TV. You need to be an enlightened American. And the only place you're going to get enlightened around a bunch of people like this is not scared to tell the truth. I got the video on that if you want to see it. They said whoever wishes to ruin a nation will introduce the vice of homosexuality to it, and it'll ruin that nation. Now our nation is in this shape. I'm going to read you this and I'm going to close. Here's how it's changed. Modern day version of Little Red Riding Hood.
Ready? Then we're going to pray. Once upon a time in a far country, there lived a little girl called Little Red Riding Hood. One day, her mother asked her to take a basket of fruit to her grandmother, who had been ill and lived alone in a cottage in the forest. It happened that there was a wolf lurking in the bushes and overheard the conversation. He decided to take a shortcut to Grandma's house and get the goodies for himself. The wolf killed Grandmother, then dressed in her nightgown and jumped into bed to wait on Little Red Riding Hood. When she arrived, he made several nasty suggestions and then tried to grab her. By this time, Little Red Riding Hood was very frightened and ran screaming from the cottage. A woodcutter working nearby heard her cries and rushed to the rescue. He killed the wolf with his axe, thereby saving Little Red Riding Hood's life. All the townspeople hurried to the scene and proclaimed the woodcutter a hero. But at the inquest, several facts emerged. Modern day. Number one, the wolf had never been advised of his rights. Number two, the woodcutter had made no warning swings before striking the fatal blow. Number three, the ACLU stressed the point that, although the fact of eating Grandma was in bad taste, the wolf was only doing his thing and didn't deserve the death penalty. The SDS contended that the killing of Grandmother should be considered self-defense, since she was over 30 and therefore couldn't be taken seriously, because the wolf was only trying to make love, not war. On the basis of these considerations, it was decided that there was no valid basis for charges against the wolf. Moreover, the woodcutter was indicted for unaggravated assault with a deadly weapon. Several nights later, the woodcutter's house was burned to the ground. 1 year from the date the incident at Grandma's, her cottage was made a shrine for the wolf who had bled and died there. All the village officials spoke at the dedication, but it was Red Riding Hood who gave the most touching tribute. She said that while she had been selfishly grateful for the woodcutter's intervention, she realized in retrospect that he had overreacted. As she knelt and placed a wreath in honor of the brave wolf, there wasn't a dry eye in the forest. You know what that is? That's our nation this morning. It's gone backwards. Right has become wrong. Wrong has become right. And that's why that Stone Swearing White School is sitting out there this morning. Teach kids. And God blessed our forefathers. Sent them to this nation under this flag, and that men bled and died so that we could worship God here this morning. Don't run around here and scream, holler, and say anything I want to this morning, because of that flag right there. It's protection on me. Amen. God have mercy. It starts right here. You know where the answer is? Right here. You young people in this church, let's stand with our heads bowed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. No one looking around. No one leave. We've got something special for you in just a second. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Maybe there's some here this morning while they play softly. Just want to slip out of your seat and say, you know, preacher, I didn't realize our nation had got so far away from how God blessed us to begin with. And I need to come to that altar this morning. Some of you young people, mamas and daddies, I need to get, I know we can't have a big invitation after a message like this. This is just to inform you and bring you up to date where we are in this nation. We're a long way from God. May the Lord help us this morning to get back. Father, do what ought to be done in our hearts today. Touch every life, touch every heart. Move in every life here this morning. Help us as Christians get back to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.